As a dyed in the wool New Yorker, even though I've lived inside the Beltway for 30 years, the way that I nurture my New York roots each week is to read the New Yorker magazine. I learned that from one of the best professors I ever had. It was a Jesuit, thank you, who taught us in the Archdiocesan Seminary, John Donahue. And he was such a fan of the New Yorker, it was infectious. As you well know, probably, the first article in every New Yorker is called The Talk of the Town. And if you are in exile, you got to find out what The Talk of the Town is. It's a must read for me. But this past week, the second must read article was about the Pope and about the apparent fight the Pope is having with the Curia about reforming the church. Only the New Yorker would call the article Holy Orders. The talk of the town this week will be the Pope coming. Yes, from Massachusetts Avenue being closed for 2.5 days, get ready, to crowds on the metro and crowds all over town. But it will be not only about traffic disruption, it may well be about the kind of disruption this Pope wants to cause. It's called conversion, nothing less than that. And when he talks and walks in this city, we need to listen and to learn. I was asked last week by one of the media, what would the Pope be saying when he got here? And I said, I give up. I said, I'm a better historian than a prophet. See me next week. But apparently that was not the response of Arizona Congressman Paul Kozar, a Roman Catholic who's chosen not to go to the Pope's talk. Because he says he will talk about climate change. And then he said the following. When the Pope chooses to act and talk like the leftist politician, he can expect to be treated that way like me. I will not go. So much for courtesy, or comity, or debate, or fair play, according to the congressman turned fortune teller. In my own mind, the just one in today's first reading is really Pope Francis. He is in our day and age the just one in the reading from Wisdom, because he does indeed challenge and invite us to change our minds, our hearts, and yes, some well-worn habits. He always does it with a joyful spirit. That was his first document, the joy of the gospel. He does it with the humility of a pastor who first encounters a person and doesn't read the regulations to them. He does it as a prophet who challenges when he needs to, and himself walks the walk of his challenging talk. It may well be that the Pope will talk to Congress about his recent encyclical, but it's not just about climate change. It is about lots of other things, like environment, economy, politics, and of all things, prayer. And many of his footnotes are to his predecessors. He cites John Paul and Benedict very thoroughly. He didn't invent this stuff. People say, why didn't we hear it before? Well, sometimes pundits temper the Pope's message to suit their preconceived ideas. And sometimes soundbite summaries do not serve an article of that length when the soundbiter is only concerned about biting and not listening. The Pope argues that the environment is a life issue. And again, this week, abortion was on the minds of senators and congressmen on Capitol Hill because of the Planned Parenthood discoveries. Fair enough. But the Pope raises other life issues in his encyclical. Is not polluted air a life issue? Is not polluted water a life issue? Is not the fact that one third of the food we produce destroyed a life issue? Is not the fact that one fifth of the world's children go to bed hungry every night a life issue? Is not the raping of fields a life issue? Is not the biodiversity coming to an end at the Amazon and the Arctic a life issue? In the face of these challenges, we may well be like the protagonist in today's first reading. I don't want to hear this. Get rid of him. It's easier to shoot the messenger than it is to deflect his challenge. It's easier to demonize someone who disagrees with us rather than honestly debate issues in a civil manner. Did anyone else spend 4 hours on CNN on Wednesday? Today's gospel speaks at the core of our faith. Christ dying and rising in our dying and rising in him. And it turns out that the Pope is someone who knows about dying and defeats and setbacks in his own life. He knows of which he speaks. Jesuit provincial, who never got the earned doctorate he was told to get. Jesuits don't do that. A disgrace. Then exiled to a city in which he heard confessions for 2 years and gave retreats, no longer in the corridors of Jesuit power in Argentina. This afternoon, CNN posted an article. The banner headline was, "The Unexplained Gap in the Pope's Life." The inside story was, "The Pope's Dark Night of the Soul." But we all have them, don't we? If we're honest, we all have defeats. We all have setbacks. We all have dyings, and sometimes we don't like them and don't want them in career, struggling marriages, depression, terminal illness. We've all got defeats. And if we name them and claim them, then rising means something and faith means something. If we don't name them and claim them, then it's all a facade. It's all a game. It's all protocol to welcome a guest like anybody else this week to Washington. Like most weeks, Washington, D.C., there'll be a lot of talk in this town. But the major talk will be by a visitor who will challenge us and call us to conversion. The real issue this week is not to be like the Pope. Not the issue. Do we like to talk? Not the issue. The issue is the Pope being faithful to God, and are we being faithful to the Pope? And that may well mean popularity numbers go down, but it may well mean that our faith gets stronger. And the real issue is, do we walk the walk he walks after he leaves? This Pope, who will have dinner on Thursday with the homeless on 10th and G Streets, the addicted, the homeless. The Pope will go to East Harlem to a struggling school to be with children of many colors. And the Pope will start in Philadelphia at a prison, not a palace. And one more time says to prisoners, "I made bad choices too. Mine didn't get me here, but they could have." What a Pope. What a statement. That'll be the talk of the town. But it may well be why some people want to avoid this man of God, this just one, and not hear what he has to say or do what he challenges us to do. This altar is all about dying and rising. Our faith is all about dying and rising. It's simply rhetoric unless you and I put ourselves into the dying of Christ and name our problems, our defeats, and our weaknesses, and our defenses, and that allow Christ to rise again in us with joy and in humble service. This may well not be a make or break week for the Pope, but it might be a make it or break week for us in our lives of faith. Now, I do hope you and I can get what we have to get on the metro this week. And if we get stuck in traffic, say to ourselves, this is a once in a lifetime, and this man's here to challenge me more than just getting to my destination, but helping me get to eternal life. The Pope will likely be the talk of the town in Washington this week. My real concern is not the talk he talks, but how we will walk and live after he leaves. And then goes with the talk of the town in Philadelphia and the talk of the town in my real home, New York. Lucky him. He'll get to be a real New Yorker for 48 hours. I believe in one God.